Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Toward the upper part of Daf Ayin Aleph, we have a new Mishnah. Before we proceed with the text itself, let us glance at the side. We have a topic heading. We call it the Nosei, that you find in the margin of your Shas Ozer. The topic we've assigned to this is Uman Yehudi Shekibel Yayinesech Bischoro, a Jewish worker who received as payment Yayinesech, the forbidden wine, as payment for his services. Uman, the Mishnah now, Uman Yisrael Sheshalach Lohem Ovei Kechovim Chovis Shel Yayinesech Bischoron, a Jewish artisan that received from a Gentile as payment a barrel of forbidden wine. Mutar lomar tein lanu estomeha. It is permissible for the umanin, for the workers or artisans, the Jewish artisans, to request the financial equivalent of the value of the barrel of wine. Rashi points out that it is allowed to ask for the monetary value, monetary exchange of the barrel, because he, the Jew, hasn't taken possession of the barrel yet. There simply is a financial obligation to pay the worker, the craftsman, and that, instead of being paid off with the wine, a request could be made that he is paid through with cash, the cash equivalent of the barrel of wine. However, the Mishnah says, Mishenichnasa l'rishuson, once the artisans would take possession of the barrel, then usur, then it would be forbidden for the artisan to attempt to exchange the barrel of wine, of forbidden wine that he's already taken possession of, in exchange for its money equivalent. Omar Rav Yehuda Marav, Mutar li'odom lomar lo'ovei kechovim. It is allowed for a Jew to say to an idol worshipper, Tsei v'hofeis olai menas hamelech. Pay off for me the royal tax, and after you pay it off for me, I will reimburse you. What might very well take place is that the royal tax that the Gentile, that the idol worshipper pays the king with, may be in the form of barrels of wine. The Jew did not ask him to pay with barrels of wine, but he, the Gentile, may pay off the tax in that form. And then when the Jew comes to reimburse him, it would appear as if he's paying the Gentile for the wine that he used to pay off the royal tax. However, since the tax could have been paid off with cash, and the Gentile decided on his own to pay off with the Yayin Esech, we do not say that the payment with the Yayin Esef, with the forbidden wine, was done as an act of agency on behalf of the Jew. But rather, it was something done on his own, the Gentile's own volition. Meisve, a source is raised to contest Rav Yehuda Marav's din. The Tanaic source, and you can see it appears in a frame, says, Al yomar odom lo vikichovim. One is not allowed, a Jew is not allowed to say to a Gentile, to an idol worshipper, Oil tachti l'oitzer. Go in my place to pay off the government official. Well, if we see from here that if a Jew is asking a Gentile to go in his place to pay off the official, and of course the Jew will then later on reimburse his Gentile friend, that type of relationship does present a problem, and it would then cast a doubt on the psak of Rav Yehuda Marav, who said that a Gentile is allowed to pay off the necessary payments on behalf of a Jew. Omar Le Rav, who was under attack, responds. He says, "Oil tachti lo itzer karmas." Are you citing as a question on my ruling this case of "Oil tachti"? Go in my place to pay off the itzer, the official. Ha lo damya elo leha. The din of Rav Yehuda Marav. If you want to parallel it to something, you can parallel it to the seifa of that source. That same source says at the end, Avol Oimer Lo, one, a Jew, is allowed to ask of his Gentile friend, Malteni Min Ha'otzar, save me from the officials. What's the point of contrast here with which we can then better understand Rav Yehuda Marav's ruling? In the case that was raised as a question on Rav Yehuda Marav, the request was, Al Yomer Odom Lo Ve'Kovim, Oil tachti loitzer. That statement of go in my place, be in my place, be in my stead, that is essentially an appointment of agency. And that anything the Gentile does to pay off the official, it's as if he's doing it as if the Jew himself is doing it. We can call that shlichus or agency. Of course, in such a case, if the Gentile uses Yayin Nesech to pay off the official, he is doing it as an agent of the Jew, and that is prohibited. It is prohibited for a Jew to derive benefit from from forbidden wine. However, if the Gentile is requested, simply save me from the officials, Malteni min Oitzer, that's a general request, and it's not an appointment of agency. And therefore, that which the Gentile does, he is choosing the method of payment on his own volition, and not as a shaliach of the Jew, and therefore, such an arrangement is allowed. And that more closely resembles the din of Rav Yehuda Marav, where he said it's mutter for someone to ask a Gentile, tsei v'hafeis alai menasemach, go and pay off my obligations to the royal tax. And in requesting that, he's saying any way that you find fit to pay it off, go ahead and do so. And when the Gentile chooses to use Yayin Nesech, that is his own choice and not as an act of agency for the Jew. Mishnah. Hamochir yeno la'oved kechovim. Someone is selling kosher wine to a Gentile, to an idol worshipper. Posak ad shalomodad. If there is an agreement as to what price the wine will cost per unit, then domov mutarin. Then the payment that will be made by the Gentile to the Jew for the wine is allowed. However, modad ad shelo posak, domov asurin. If the wine is measured out to the goy, to the Gentile, and this is done before the price is established, when eventually it gets paid, the money will be usur. And the reason for that is that the deal was not clinched at the point that the Gentile physically took possession of it, but the kinyan wasn't made at that point, and the reason for that is because there was no agreement as to the price. And we are suggesting that as long as there's no price agreement, we cannot say that a deal is clinched. Therefore, what happened is that the wine was measured out before a price was established. It was measured out to the Gentile, and in the meantime, before the price was established, the Gentile had a chance to swish around the wine, to pour the wine to his idol, turning the wine into Yayin Nesech, all before the deal was clinched. So when the eventual payment is made, it is going to be made for what is now Yayin Nesech, and that is prohibited. It's prohibited to receive money in exchange for Yayin Nesech. As we go on in the Gemara, we see a topic heading that we have on the side. Kinyan, and we've also indicated, by the way, that this lasts till Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Kinyan Meshicha Ba'Ovdei Kochavim. The issue of deal clinching based on the act of Meshicha, the act of drawing the item unto yourself. Do Gentiles have this form of deal clinching, of kinyan? We see a geometric form at the beginning of the Gemara, Hamemar, and a few lines later, Rav Ashi. These are described under our Mivneh heading, under our structural note on the side, Deos Behanal. Deos, there's opinions regarding the above-mentioned topic. Omar Hamemar, Meshicha Ba'ovid Kichovim Koineh. Amemar claims that the Kinyan act, the act of acquisition accomplished through Meshicha, is something that works also when dealing with Gentiles. Teda, let it be known, or you can know this, Dahani Parsoi, Mishadri Pardashmi Lahadodi, we find Persians, Goyim, Gentiles, that send gifts to one another, Velo Hadri Bu, and they don't back out. In other words, once I present something to you, once one Gentile presents something to another, he draws it unto himself, and there's never any return, indicating that clinches the deal. Rav Ashi Omar, Meshicha Ba'ovi Kichovim Eino Koino. This act known as Meshicha amongst Gentiles, when someone is selling something to a Gentile, it does not clinch the deal, and things can be reversed or undone. V'hai d'lo hadri behu, and that which we witnessed by the Persians, that they do not back out, d'ramas ruchahu d'nikita lehu. It's an outgrowth or a phenomenon of pride. It's as a result of their pride that they do not back out. But as far as an official means of clinching a deal, when dealing with Gentiles, Meshicha does not clinch the deal. Omar Rav Ashi Mino Aminolo. Rav Ashi mentions, from where do I know this, that Meshicha is not Koina? So we have, as far as the markings are concerned, a long answer marking. The response that Rav Ashi offers to the question he himself raised will last till the second line from the top of Amud Beis. So Rav Ashi says, Mida Omar Luhu Rav Lahano Savyusa. From we can know that there is no Kinyan Meshicha from the instructions that Rav issued to wine sellers. In our use of the expression wine sellers, it ought to be noted that we're dealing with the word sellers spelled with an S. Those who are vendors, wine vendors. What does Rav say to them? The next few lines we have in quotation marks. So if you see the beginning of this phrase, we start here with quotation marks, and it goes till the second line from the bottom. These are Rav's instructions to the wine vendors. Ki kailisu chamro li'ovde kechavim. When you measure out wine to Gentiles, in other words, you're selling kosher wine to Gentiles. Shaklu zuzi minaihu v'hodar kailon. First take the cash from them and then measure it out. V'hodar kailon lehu, and then measure out the wine to them. V'ilo nikitu b'hadayu zuzi, and if you encounter a situation where they do not have cash in their possession, ozifunhu, loan cash to these customers, to these Gentile customers, v'hodar shakilu minayu, and then take the cash that you loan to them from them. The cash you're taking from them will then be their payment for the wine. And later on, they have a debt to pay for the loan that you extended to them. But as far as the wine itself is concerned, the cash that you loan to them, they will then return to you as payment for the wine, and thereby, of course, accepting on themselves a debt. And why? And why is this? Kihechi de tehevei halvah gabayu. This is in order to create a situation where they have a debt to pay off. But the debt is because of the loan, not because of the sale of the wine. The li'i lo avdi suhachi. If you don't follow these instructions, ki kohavi yayin nesech birshu saichu kohavi. In other words, if you were to, let us say, measure out the wine before taking the cash payment from them, so you will have measured out the wine to them. They will dabble in the wine, namely stir it or pour it to their deities. At that point, it becomes yayin esech, but at that point the deal hasn't been clinched. So it's yayin, it is wine becoming yayin esech while legally still in your possession, in the Jewish possession. V'chi shakilsu, and when you eventually take money, demei yayin esech, you're in effect taking payment for forbidden wine. So Rav's solution to this was, make sure that the payment is made and the deal clinched before it becomes Yayin Nesech. So that at the point that they start dabbling in the wine, it is already in their possession. If it were so that the drawing of the wine, the drawing that Meshicha clinches the deal, well then wouldn't it be true that midemoshcha oved kochavim kanya, from the point that the Gentile draws the wine before he dabbles in it, simply by moving the barrel into his domain or unto himself, by drawing the barrel, moving the barrel to himself, that's called Meshicha, that would clinch the deal and create the financial obligation, all at a point before he dabbled in the wine. No need for advance payment. Yayin nesech lo havi ad dinogabe. And yet, what do we see? Rav doesn't rely on the Meshicha per se. Rav insisted that money be paid up front, so that the payment, in effect, would clinch the deal, and the payment is made for wine that is still kosher before the Gentile dabbled in it. We see from all of this that Rav apparently holds that there's no Kinyan Meshicha by the Goyim. Therefore, that recommendation of allowing the deal to be clinched by simply drawing the wine was not an option. At this point, the Gemara rejects the attempt that we just saw in the name of Rav. We encounter a diamond, and we also have a structural note in the margin under the heading Mivneh. You can see in the margin a diamond appears. Nisyonos lahasbir dinoi shel Rav. Attempts to explain Rav's approach with regard to the taking of the money at the outset. And by the way, just for the sense of accuracy and clarity, Rav himself did not take a stand on the issue of Meshicha. It was Rav Ashi that took the stand on Meshicha, that Meshicha is not kone when dealing with Gentiles, and Rav Ashi was basing himself on Rav. If we can offer an alternative explanation for Rav's instructions with regard to take the money at the outset and not base the explanation on the issue of Meshicha, then Rav Ashi won't have a basis for his shita. In other words, he might say there's no Meshicha by Goyim, but he won't be able to base his opinion on Rav, because we're going to offer an alternative explanation to Rav. So that is what the Gemara does at this point. The Gemara on the second line from the top, E de kokayel veromi lemonodi Israel Hachinami. If what was happening was the Jew who was selling the wine was taking the wine and measuring it into kosher vessels, and the Gentile would then draw the kosher vessel unto himself, then Mashiach would have been koneh, and there would in fact have been no need to pay the money up front. Loi tzricha, the case of Rav, where he required payment at the outset, dekokayil v'romi lemona de'oyved kechovim, where the Jewish wine vendor was pouring the wine into Gentile vessels. As a result of his pouring it into Gentile vessels, the residual wine that's in the Gentile vessel, when mixed with the kosher wine, would make it all into Yayin Nesech even before Mashiach was done. Therefore, in order to ensure that the payment be done in a kosher way, Rav was saying pay up front, pay before, and clinch the deal through the payment before the wine is even poured into the Gentile vessel. The Gemara asks, sof, but still, why is there need for money to be paid up front? Kimoto la viro de mona kanya. Could it not be said that when the wine, moto means arrives or reaches the airspace of the Gentile vessel, kanya, the Gentile acquires it at that point, and at that point a debt is formed without any need to pay the money up front, and at that point the wine is still kosher when it reaches the airspace of the vessel, the interior of the vessel. Yayin nesech lo havi ad moti larise demona. And the conversion of the wine into Yayin Nesech doesn't take place until the wine, the kosher wine, reaches the bottom of the Gentile vessel, at a point that the deal was already clinched while the wine was still kosher, and the debt being formed for kosher wine. Now, yet Rav insisted on money being paid up front even under these circumstances. So, Shamis Mino Nitzal Chibur, should we conclude from Rav's din that requires money to be paid even before any pouring is done, that nitzok, a flow, constitutes a chibur, a connection? What do we mean by this? As the wine is being poured from the kosher vessel into the Gentile's vessel with some residual yayin nesech on its floor, a stream appears, a stream, the flow of the kosher wine. At one end, it's reaching the bottom, the flow itself is reaching the bottom of the vessel, and at the other end of the flow there is wine outside of the airspace of the Gentile's vessel, the wine that's being poured from the upper kosher wine vessel. By the fact that we're not relying on the airspace of the Gentile vessel as clinching the deal, it must be because the wine is already rendered unfit through this flow connection, nitzuk, the flow, constituting a chibur. So that if we can allow for the wine to be paid for in a kosher way, that would only be if the payment is made before any pouring even takes place. Because at the point that the pouring starts, it seems from Rav's insistence on the paying be up front, it seems that Nitzuk would have constituted a chibur, an attachment, and that the Yayin Nesech at the bottom of the Gentile's vessel would thereby ruin all of the wine that's being poured even before it reaches the airspace of the Gentile's vessel. Now, this issue of Nitzuk chibur is itself a matter of discussion in other Gemaras. So could we not have used Rav to establish that it must be that Nitzuk equals chibur, that the flow is a form of attachment and connection? Loi. Gemara says, we cannot prove from Rav's din that Nitzuk chibur. And if the Gentile was holding an empty vessel, then there would have, in fact, been no need for the money to be paid up front. The Gentile would have been koneh, would have acquired, when the wine reaches the airspace of his vessel. The question then is why is Rav insisting on cash payment being made before any pouring takes place? The Gemara explains. Lo means we're not going to conclude that nitzuk equals chibur. If the Gentile customer was holding in his hands, he was holding his empty vessel, then hochinami, in fact, the kli, the airspace of the vessel, would have been kone without any need for payment up front. Lo tzricha, the din of Rav, however, is necessary, demonach a'arov, where the vessel is not being held by the goy, whereby we could say that the vessel is acquiring through the holding of its owner, because Rav is talking about a case where the vessel is on the ground. If the vessel is on the ground, then at this point the feeling is that the vessel is incapable of acquiring the Gentile's incapable of acquiring through the aid of his vessel that is sitting on the ground. The Gemara asks, but even so, why is there a necessity for money to be paid up front? The tikni le kelov. Why not say that his vessel acquires on behalf of him? And once again, if that would have been the case, so there would be no need for money to be paid up front. The wine, upon entering the airspace of the vessel sitting on the ground, would clinch the deal while the wine is still kosher. Aha! But Rav doesn't say that. Rav seems to insist on money being paid up front. V'tikni, and now, Shamis Mino, should we conclude from the fact that Rav insists on money being paid up front, that Kalov Shelokeach B'Rishus Mocher Lokono Lokeach, that the vessels of the customer, when they are sitting in the domain of the seller, as we have in our case, where the vessels of the Gentile vessels are in the domain of the Jewish wine vendor, and we see that the vessel itself does not acquire on his behalf, and we see that by the fact that Rav is insisting on money being paid up front. So should we come to this legal conclusion, which is, of course, a discussion in other places, in other Gemaras? This is an issue that has not been resolved. So should we resolve the issue and say that Kalev Shalokeach, vessels of the customer, Brishus Mocher, in the domain of the seller, Lo Konalokeach, that the vessels are incapable of acquiring on behalf of the customer. And that's why Rav is insisting on the money being paid up front. Loi, we shall not conclude that. Li'olam Eimaloch Konalokeach. I can argue that the customer could acquire through the vessel, through the vessel being filled, or material entering the airspace of his vessel, even if it's in the reshus of the mocher, even if it's in the domain of the seller. The vessel still has its own acquisition properties or powers. V'hocha b'may askinan. And here, why is it that Rav is insisting on payment up front and not relying on the vessel's ability to acquire? Kegon de'iko akeves yayin apume de kuznisa. The case here is that the vessel of the Gentile has a rim around it, and in that rim there is yayin nesech. And before the kosher wine enters the airspace of the vessel, it encounters the rim of the vessel, and in that rim, the wine is mixing, the kosher wine is mixing with the yayin nesech. So at that point, the wine becomes forbidden, namely at a point before it even enters the airspace of the Gentile's vessel. Reading the Gemara again, Kegon de'iko akeves yayin apume de kuznisa. There's some wine, some residual wine wine residue that's in is on the surface of the rim of the Gentile's vessel, the kamo kamo in sichle, that every drop of kosher wine as it hits that rim becomes forbidden. Therefore, the vessel cannot be relied upon for acquiring on behalf of the owner and clinching the deal on his behalf. And therefore, the only solution to allow for payment for the kosher wine to be made is by paying the money up front before the wine is poured out, and thereby clinching the deal while the wine is still kosher. The Gemara asks a question. It's a three-line question. We have a question length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Ukeman, this approach, Delo Kerav Shimon ben Gamliel, seems to be unlike that of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The E Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel ha'omar, but if it were according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, he has been known to say, Yimocher kulo le'ovde koychavim chutz midmei yayin nesech shemo. In other words, if there is a mixture, so to speak, of kosher wine and unkosher wine, we don't say that all of the kosher wine became forbidden. He would say, or he would seem to say, that if you have a mixture, then you're allowed to derive benefit from the kosher wine, and any unkosher wine that would, if you were to, let us say, sell the mixture of kosher wine with unkosher wine, you would sell the mixture and take the value of the unkosher wine in the mixture and throw that out. In other words, not to derive any benefit from the unkosher wine. But the mere mixture, according to Shimon Liel, does not pose a problem to the kosher contents of that mixture. Therefore, Rav, who seems to be worried about the kosher wine getting mixed up with the residue wine on the rim, Rav, who seems to hold that the residue wine on the rim would create a prohibition on, regarding all of the wine, that would seem to run counter to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's approach to kosher-unkosher wine mixtures. The Gemara explains that we don't necessarily have to pit Rav pit him off against Reb Shimon Gamliel. Midi hu taimo elo l'Rav. Is it not so that our entire discussion right now revolves around Rav and his insistence on the kosher wine sale being paid for up front? Well, ho'omar Rav, but Rav himself already explained halachu Shimon Gamliel chovis b'chovis. We paskin like Reb Shimon Gamliel. When you're dealing with a wine mixture of barrels of wine, kosher barrels, that they're got mixed up amongst the kosher barrels of wine, a barrel of unkosher wine of yayin nesech. In such a case, then Rav says we would follow Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's ruling and say you can sell off all of the barrels with the exception of the value of one barrel, the cost or the amount of money you receive for one of the barrels, that you would have to throw out, but the rest of the money that you receive for the other barrels would be okay. However, avolo yayin b'yayin. However, Rav says we don't paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel when you're dealing with the liquid mixture of unkosher wine with kosher wine, let us say, in the same barrel. In such a case, all of the wine would be forbidden and you could not receive any payment for the wine, for any of it. Therefore, once we set up the case of Rav of some unkosher wine in the on the rim of a vessel, and the kosher wine being poured over that rim into the vessel, at the point that the kosher wine hits the rim, all of the wine becomes prohibited. Because it's a yayin-yayin mixture, not a barrel, not separate barrels getting mixed up with one another, but the liquid itself is getting mixed up. Mesve. Here we have a triangle, and this is explained under our Mivne heading. You can see in the margin triangles that appear in two directions. That is because as you skim down the Gemara, you will see triangles in different directions. Kushos al Amemar v'Ravashi. Let's just review. Amemar and Ravashi address the issue of, is there kinyan Meshicha by Gentiles? Amemar saying that Meshicha is koine b'ovdei kochavim, and Ravashi saying it does not work with ovdei kochavim. So we have a Tanaic source. With the triangle pointing up, we realize this will be a kasha on Amemar. Amemar said, Meshicha works. Let's see what the source says, a source that will apparently indicate that Meshicha does not work. Halokeach grutos min ha'ovdei kechavim. This is a topic that was quoted earlier in the Masichta. One who buys some metal filings or metal pieces of metal, from a Gentile, umotze bohen avodes kechavim, and he found in the pile of waste metal or metal pieces that he purchased, he finds an idol. Imad sheloi nosan mois moshach, if the Jew drew the pile of metal unto himself before he paid any money, yachzir, then he should just return that which he bought. Im mishen nosan mois moshach, if he did Meshicha after he paid for it, in other words, if he paid for it and then did Meshicha, Yoylich Liyam Hamelach, then he has to take the idol and throw it into the sea, into the salt sea. In other words, he basically lost money on this deal. If it were so that Meshicha serves to acquire Amai Yachzir, then why in the first case did the source say that if money was not paid but Meshicha was done, why is it that it can be Yachzir, that it can be undone? After all, at this point the Jew acquired the idol, and if Meshicha is Kona, then the Jew acquired the idol and it must be destroyed. Omar Abaye. Abaye represents a defense for Amemar, and says, technically speaking, Abaye is explaining something that will serve as a defense for Amemar. It's noteworthy, and Rashi points this out, that Abaye and Rava were earlier historically than Amemar and Rav Ashi, and therefore their appearance in this sugya is really an appearance based on their teachings that they stated in the context of a discussion regarding Shitas Rav Yochanan, who was much earlier. But the Gemara, all the same, is adopting their teachings and presenting it as if it were a response to response on behalf of Amemar. So Omar Abaye, Mishum de Merci ki Mekach Tois. The reason in the Reisha that if no money was paid, even though the metal with the idol were drawn, it's because it appears as a mistake. As a mistake, the deal can be undone. After all, the Jew did not make a deal in anticipation of acquiring an idol. So with that explanation of Merci ki Mekach Tos, we are explaining why it's Yachzir, why the deal can be reversed. Omar Rava, Reisha Mekach Tos Seif Alav Mekach Tos. In looking at the source, why is it that the Reisha would say the deal can be undone, and according to Abaye it's because it looks like a mistake? Does the Seifa not also appear as a mistake? And yet in the Seifa, the deal cannot be undone. Elo Omar Rava, Reisha v'Seifa Mekach Tos. By letter of the law, the Reisha and Seifa is an issue of a mistaken deal. V'Reisha, the Reisha where we see it can be undone, Delo Yohiv Zuzi, no money was paid yet. Lo Mischazi, it doesn't give the appearance as Kavodes Kechavim Biyad Yisrael, as if it were an idol in the possession of a Jew. And so, since no money was paid yet, and it is a mekartos, the deal can be undone without getting any wrong impressions. However, seifa, where we said the Jew has to throw the idol into the salt sea to be destroyed, the yohiv zuzi, where cash was paid, he paid money and then drew the metal, the pile of metal with the idol. Money was paid. So, mischazi ke'avodis kechovim biyad Yisrael. It gives the impression as if it's an idol in the possession of a Jew. And Rashi explains that if subsequently the Jew would give the idol back to the Gentile in exchange for money, it would look like a resale of the idol, and that would be prohibited. So since we would be getting the impression that the Jew is selling the idol back to the Goy, when in fact it's really a mekartos, but the impression would be created that he is getting paid now, paid by the Goy in exchange for the idol. It's as if the Jew is selling an idol that he acquired. And why do we have this feeling? Because the Jew already paid for it. And since this incorrect impression could be thought, therefore we say the Jew has to bring the idol to the Yam HaMelech. But all of this is a function of misimpressions that could be created. But as far as letter of the law is concerned, we can tell you that, generally speaking, Meshicha is Koneh, provided it's not a circumstance of Mekartos. Omarle Mark Shisha Breder of Chizkel Rav Ashi. Toshma. We have a triangle that appears inverted. And Rav Ashi had said on Omid Aleph that Meshicha is not Kone. Here we have a kasha presented against Rav Ashi. Ha Toshma Hamocher Yeno Leovei Kechovim. We saw this in our Mishnah. One who is selling wine, kosher wine, to a Gentile. Posak Ad Shalom Oda Domov Mutorin. If they agreed on a price, a per unit price of wine before the wine was measured out, the money paid for it, the money eventually paid for it, would be mutter. Procedurally, what happens? So you have the goy, the Gentile, and the Jew agreeing on a price of wine, and then the wine is measured out to the Gentile customer. At that point, at the point that it's measured out to him, he is thereby doing meshicha to the wine. He hasn't dabbled in the wine yet. And at that point, we would say the deal is clinched. And the Mishnah says that the cash is mutter, that it's mutter for him to, it's allowed, the money paid by the Gentile to the Jew is money paid for kosher wine, because the deal would seem to have been clinched before he had a chance to dabble in it. And what was the deal clincher? Apparently it was the Meshicha that was accomplished at the point that the wine was measured out to him after they had set a price. The E Amris Meshicha Bovei Kuchovim Eino Koine. If you're going to say, like Rav Ashi said, that the act of Meshicha does not clinch the deal, Amai Domov Mutorin, then why would it be allowed for the Jew to receive payment? Let's go over this. Let's go over the problem. If Meshicha is not Kone, so they may have agreed on a per unit price for the wine. There was an agreement of price. There was a measuring out of the wine to the Gentile. At that point, Meshicha would have been done. But if you're going to say, like Rav Ashi, that the deal is not clinched, fine. So the Goy, after he's received the wine, the Gentile will dabble in the wine, splatter it, pour it out to his deity. And the Mishnah says that the Jew can get paid for it. But how can he get paid for it? He's getting paid for wine that has already become Yayin Nesech, it's become forbidden wine before any deal clinching. Hocho b'mayaskinon. The Gemara answers, or Rav Ashi answers in his defense, What is the case of the Mishnah that it says Domov Mutarin? The Akdim lay dinar. The Gentile paid money before the wine was measured out. The Gemara asks, Ihochi emo sefo, modad ad shelo posak, domo vasurin. The sefo of the Mishnah says that if the wine was measured out to the Gentile before there was an agreement on the per unit cost of the wine, the cash eventually paid would be usur. However, vi kodim le dinar, if cash was paid up front, amai domo vasurin, why should the money be forbidden? It was paid before any nesech was done, any pouring or any dabbling in the wine on the part of the Gentile. So at this point, to set up the case in a way to defend Rav Ashi by saying that it's the ratio that's described, the money is mutter, is because it was paid up front, that explanation doesn't seem to hold up when you continue into the seifa of the same Mishnah. Omar Lay. So Rav Ashi answers on his behalf. We have a long answer marking indicating that all of the lines opposite this encircled tuff and following vertical dashed line, all of these lines are part of Rav Ashi's answer. He says, "Uleditcha di amris mishicha ba'ofek v'chavim koine." You who said that drawing the wine does effectively acquire on behalf of the goy, Reisha, amai Reisha domov mutarim v'seifa domov asurin. Why is there a distinction between the Reisha and the Seifa? In the Reisha, we say that if they agreed on a price, so the eventual cash payment will be okay. And the Seifa, where they did not agree on a price, the money is asur. In either case, wasn't Meshicha accomplished? Didn't that clinch the deal before the wine became forbidden? Elomai is loch lememar. What are you going to have to say? You who hold that Meshicha is koine. Pasak equals somcha daite. Only because there was an agreement to the price was he, the customer, reliant upon the Meshicha. And therefore you can tell us in the Reisha that Dom of Mutarin. Lo Pasak, the case of the Sefer where there was no agreement on the per unit cost. Lo Sam Chadaite. So he, the customer, did not rely on the deal. He didn't know how much it was going to cost him. So that even though he may have done Meshicha before dabbling in the wine, the Meshicha that you claim is an effective Kenyan doesn't work because he didn't have a sense of mindset of acquisition, namely smichas das. He doesn't have that because he doesn't know how much it's going to cost him. L'didinani. So I too, says Rav Ashi, I who explained the Mishnah, the Reisha and the Seifa as akdim dinar, I too can make this distinction, namely afagav de kodim le dinar. Even though money was paid up front, that itself doesn't necessarily clinch the deal. Once again, let's just review the main point. As far as Rav Ashi is concerned, Meshicha is not koneh. So how can we talk about money? How can we talk about the money being mutter? So Rav Ashi said it's a case where the money is paid up front. If the money is paid up front, so why in the seifa does the source, our Mishnah, say that the payment is not allowed? So he uses the same logic. Pasak samcha daite, where there was an agreement on price, so then the advanced payment will effectively clinch the deal. Lo pasak, if there was no agreement on the per unit cost, even though there was an advanced payment, that would not clinch the deal. Lo samcha daite, because he doesn't have a mindset of agreeing to the deal. Amale Ravina the Ravashi Toshma. We are now going to raise an objection once again to Ravashi from the following: the Omar Rav Chiya bar Abba Rav Yochanan Ben Noyach Nehrag al Pochos Mishove Pruta V'loi Nitan Lihishavoin. a Gentile is subject to a death penalty, even on a even on such a small amount of money that he may have stolen from a Jew, even if it's less than a shoveh pruta, which is a very small amount of money. V'lo nitan li shavon, and it's something that cannot be returned. That if the Gentile steals it, he cannot. It's an amount that once stolen cannot be returned. V'i amris mishicha bovid kechavim eino koina. If, as Rav Ashi claims, that mishicha, the act of drawing something, when dealing with Gentiles, does not acquire amai neharag, why should he be subject to a death penalty? After all, he is said to have not even acquired it. The Rashi that accompanies this particular phrase of the Gemara is found on the top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Let's take a look at Rashi there. Amai neherag, holo kanyo lahach gezela. If you're telling me Mashiach is not kone, so the Gentile that stole the pochos mishava pruta from the Jew, he doesn't acquire it. V'chol hechad yisan, wherever that pochos mishava pruta is, shel Yisrael he, it still is said to be that of the Israel. After all, Mashiach is not kone, so the Gentile thief doesn't acquire it. The Gemara answers. Rav Ashi would answer that, in fact, Mashiach is not kone. So if you ask, why is he subject to a capital offense? Mishum detzare l'Yisrael, because he caused suffering to the Israel. He took something that didn't belong to him. This Gentile took something that didn't belong to him. He took it from the Jew, and that causes a feeling of tzar. And it's for that that we say mischayev benafsho. The Gemara continues on the top of Ayin Beis, Omer Aleph, Umay lo nitan lihi shavon. How are we to understand that expression? Well, after all, you said that the Gentile doesn't acquire it, so why couldn't it just be returned? What do you mean it's not given to be returned? Answer, Dieno betoras hi shavon. Let's see what Rashi says, three lines from the top. Eino b'toras yishavon, klomar, hochi nami ka'omar. In fact, this is what is said. Eino b'toras shum gezela di'oive kechovim. This event that took place of the Gentile taking the pochos mishava pruta from the Jew, it's not in the realm of Gentile theft. Why is it not categorized as theft? The cholhechodisa, because wherever it is, the morahu, he, it's still said to be owned by the owner. So when the Reb Chiya used the expression eino b'toras yishavon, we're in effect saying that since there is no acquisition on the part of the Gentile thief, since it's not acquired by him, it is not in the realm of the way we treat thievery. The way we treat thievery is that which is stolen must be returned. But in this case, we're saying that, in effect, it hasn't been stolen, because wherever it is still considered in the possession of the owner. Continuing in the Gemara, oh, ihachi emo sefa, bo chavero v'notlo mimenu. A second Gentile comes along and steals it from the first Gentile thief. Neherag oleo. The second Gentile deserves to be executed for that. Bishlamo reisha mishum detzare l'Yisrael. I understand the explanation given for why in the first stage, in the reisha, the first stage of events, there was a capital offense. That's because he caused the Jew to feel pain, to feel suffering. Elo seifa my ovid. In the seifa, there wasn't any example of tsa'are li Yisrael, and you're telling me that Mashiach is not koine, so why does it say neherag oleh? Elo shma mina, we therefore must conclude Mashiach b'ovei kechovim kone shma mina. The second thief, when taking it from the first Gentile thief, he does acquire it. It is considered an actual theft, and he acquired it through drawing it unto himself, and as a result of that, he is in violation of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, not to practice thievery. And we know that a Ben Noach is Nerag al HaGezel. The conclusion of this Gemara, therefore, would seem to rule against Rav Ashi with the claim that Meshicha Bovikovim Kone, not like Rav Ashi said. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.